Okay, it looks like we pulled it off. So we're going to sing a couple hymns from the old school hymnal, and then we're going to sing a psalm, and then we'll go over to the main part of our service this morning. The first hymn that we're going to sing is 319, On Jordan's Stormy Banks. Mark, did you have some scriptures you wanted to read this morning?
Yeah, Isaiah 61 through 6.
Okay, hold on. Let me turn the camera around here. Let's see here. Okay, go ahead.
Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people of the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to the light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord.
Well, that's a good scripture because it's the foretelling of the coming in of the Gentiles. What great news, because that would be us. Now, I know one person on the program that's part Jewish, but my wife's stepfather's name was Ephraim Wampler, if that tells you anything. Okay. But I tell Rosette all the time, you know, that's okay. You can still be one of us. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, this is entitled On Jordan's Stormy Banks. And this is taken from the old school hymnal. And Mark, you want to start that?
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that helpful shore. Sickness and sorrows, pain and death are felt and no more. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in his bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Okay, we're going to sing 420. 420, and it's entitled, O Thou in Whose Presence. O Thou in Whose Presence. Let's see here.
O Thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, of whom in afflictions I call, my comfort by day and my song in the night, my hope, my salvation, my all. Where dost thou, dear shepherd, resort with thy sheep to feed them in pastures of love? Say, why in the valley of death should I weep, or alone in this wilderness road? Oh, why should I wander an alien from thee, or cry in the desert for bread? Thy foes will rejoice when my sorrows they see, and smile at the tears I have shed. Restore, my dear Savior, the light of thy face, thy soul-cheering comfort impart, and let the sweet tokens of pardoning grace bring joy to my desolate heart. He looks, and 10,000 of angels rejoice, and myriads wait for his word. He speaks, and eternity filled with his voice re-echoes the praise of the Lord.
Okay, we're going to sing one of the psalms out of the Psalter, and it's actually on page 61, and it's taken from Psalm 139, if you want to follow along in the Psalms. It's not word for word, but it's basically the message of Psalms 139. They put it in meter so we could sing it. Hold on a second. Okay, go ahead.
Lord, thou hast searched me, thou hast known my rising and my sitting down, and from afar thou knowest well the very thoughts that in me dwell. Thou knowest all the ways I plan, my path and lying down the scan. For in my tongue no word can be, but lo, Lord, is known to thee. Behind me, for me, thou dost stand, and lay on me thy mighty hand. Such knowledge is for me too strange, and high beyond my utmost range. Where shall I from thy spirit flee, or from thy presence hidden be? In him thou art, if there I fly, in this abode, if there I lie.
Well, I want to thank all the people who joined us this morning on Facebook, as well as our friends on TalkShoe. Welcome aboard, Brother Mark, Brother Jack Stover, Brother Andrew Brown, and all of those others that I'll try to bring up. As we move forward, sometimes it's difficult on my dashboard to see everyone that's on board with us. So I will try to monitor that and make sure that we see who is with us this morning. This morning, you know, I'm not even sure how to get started on what I'm going to talk about. It's a very unpopular subject, I can tell you, and I'm probably going to make some enemies this morning, which whenever you have a whenever you have an audience of this size and this magnitude, you're going to make enemies, believe me. But it doesn't necessarily take a large audience. Sometimes it can be a small audience too. I'm going to have Brother Carl and Brother Mark read several different scriptures. I'm not going to go to just one passage, because basically I'm going to be talking about a topic this morning that's much broader than just going to one scripture. I'm going to be going to several different scriptures. So you guys just bear with me, and I'll try to lay some groundwork of where we're where I'd like for us to focus our attention. Let me just give you a little history or a little background as to, I think this subject is so paramount and so important. I'll try not to bore you with too much personal stuff, but everything that happens in a person's life, there is, God so ordains things in our life, and sometimes our experiences heightens our awareness of certain things. Sometimes our experience heightens our awareness of certain things. Now, a lot of you know the background if you listen to sermon audio and some of my messages. Now, I will tell you up front that as a result of the experiences I'm going to relay to you, I have had some challenges in overreacting in the wrong way because of those experiences. I will be the first to admit that, okay? It's just like I've told people about, when the good Lord brought me out of Arminianism, I became a zealot, and I was going to get everybody out of Arminianism, okay? And I went about, man, I didn't, at first it was like, I'll kill everybody, I'll kill everybody with the sword, the Bible. I'll kill them. I'll get them. Come on, let's get it on, Well, you know what? That's not the best. You can imagine the response. Now, a few years ago, and I think it's still on sermon audio. And there's been people tell me I ought to take it down because I've been accused of being a woman hater and all kind of things. And I don't even know the title of it, but I did and I was really in a rant on that day. Okay. Regarding the feminization of the culture. Okay.
Oh, yes.
And my background is, I came from, I've shared this before. The first church that I ever attended was a church called the Fire Baptized Holiness Church. It was the closest thing to being Pentecostal without being. Okay. And on, and on Sunday morning, the man would preach, and on Sunday night, the woman would preach. And you talk about a hodgepodge of crazy teaching, okay? That's all I can tell you. Mm-hmm. And as I began to grow up, and my dad was fairly newly saved, very young in the faith, and my mom as well, and we know how we were when we first came to a saving knowledge of Christ. And over time, our response to the Word of God is going to give indications as to where we're at in our spiritual life. And my dad was busy. He started out as a common, ordinary labor, ditch digger, worked himself up to a plumber, and eventually had his own plumbing company. But the point is that he was very preoccupied with earning a living for five people. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, okay? But he had not been taught in the doctrines of grace, period. All he'd been taught was Arminianism. And I remember he felt like God had called him to preach at one time. I'll just share a quick story. One weekend, he was asked to substitute for a preacher who had to be out of town in a neighboring town of Hiawatha, Kansas, and he didn't check them out. He had such a zeal for preaching what Christ had done in his life that we drove up to Hiawatha, Kansas, spent the night in the parsonage. And the next day we realized, once we got into the church, that it was a tongue-speaking church. Okay.
Oh, boy.
And my dad, of course, was
very opposed to what he calls babbling, inappropriate, order in the church. And what we discovered, this was just in what they called the Sunday school. The women were taking over the Sunday school, blabbering off at the mouth. And then some of them started, speaking in tongues. And my dad just stood there like, what have I got myself and my family into? And you know what he did? I'll never forget this. I admire him for standing up for the truth. He stopped everyone. He just says, stop, stop, stop. I have something to say. I did not realize that you all believe like you believe. I do not believe what you're conducting and what you're doing is biblical. I do not believe that I have not heard one person speak in an unknown tongue. I did not hear any interpretations whatsoever. And I hear that the women are dominating this service. The Bible says, let the women be silent in the churches, and the women here are in control. And so therefore, I'm going to dismiss myself and my family, and we're going back home. And we got up and we left. Okay. I mean, the people were like freaking out. Okay. But my dad did what he thought the Bible instructed. Okay. Now, going on down through my life, I have seen this over and over again. In the Church of God Holiness, where my mother still is a member of that church, I've shared with the audience on numerous occasions that Mrs. Norva Phillips and Helen Ross were considered the pillars of the church. Okay? Mm. Now, that's a problem. And when you're growing up as a son, it has an effect upon you. It has an effect upon you. My dad was not the My dad was not the head of the home. He always relinquished control to my mother. And that was by the way, he was in error on that. He was in error on that. You know, whenever you relinquish control, okay, over to your family, the spiritual headship of the home to your wife, that goes contrary to Scripture. The Bible teaches that the man is the head of the home, not the woman. And we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. Now, because of that reason, it had, like I said, a very negative impact on me, because there was a constant question in my mind as to why my dad was so... Now, my dad, I think, if you were to ask him, why did you do this? Well, he said, I didn't agree with your mother on her doctrine. Well, that's true. He did not agree with her on her doctrine. But, he should have taken a spiritual headship and proclaimed his doctrine, okay, and proclaimed it far and wide, and proclaimed it and not remain silent and stood in his corner like a little puppy dog. And so as a result of that, I wanted to some way reach out, and here I ended up becoming a social worker. Okay. Mm. Well, because of my position, by the way, if I had it to do over again, knowing what I knew, I was not spiritually where I should have been when I went into social work. I didn't understand fully all the implications of the corrupt public welfare system, and I'm not going to get into all that. If you want to read my book, you can, Phillips versus the State of Missouri. But as a result of that, look at the ramifications of this feminization of the culture. Because I went into an occupation that was primarily already feminized. Most social workers there were female. And then I was asked, I was told I had to place foster care, children who had come into the system because of abuse, with homosexuals, okay, and lesbians. And because I refused to do it, I got terminated. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this together, fast forward, we had attended a church as adults, Rosette and myself, we've attended over 100 churches, okay? Every imaginable church you can imagine before God brought us like a brand plucked out of the fire into the church, the bride of Christ, okay? But one of those edifices that we were attending was called Grace Pentecostal Church. And yes, they teach, they taught grace, but it was also mixed with a lot of other Arminian stuff. And I remember one time at the end of the grace sermon, they got into their tongue speaking, and one of the minister's wives come over and started putting her hands all over me and told me I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues, okay? A woman came over and started putting her hands on me, okay? Now, I share that with you. I'm trying to convey, and I want to tell you that I want to say everything as lovingly as I can this morning. And by the way, I'm not preaching at anyone. I'm preaching at everyone, including myself, okay? Because I realize that I still have tendencies to be a zealot because of my experiences. I realize it, okay? God has shown me that. I've overreacted. Sometimes I've been unkind and unloving with women because I see their tendencies to try to take over the headship of the home. I've seen their tendencies where they've tried to lord it over, and sometimes they're very subtle about it. I'll give you one example. I'll give you a few examples. Elizabeth Elliot is a very well-known person in the Baptist community, Southern Baptist, Arminian. She used to have her own radio show all over the United States. Her husband was killed. He was a missionary. And she was exalted, and she became like a Christian leader. And all she would have to do would listen to Elizabeth Elliot. Just listen to her. And you could see that she was not under the headship of any man. And she was exalted to the point where she would go into churches and speak in front of men and women. And she was out of order. She was out of order. And we know some of the blatant ones like Joyce Myers and Carl White, whatever her first name is. Paula White, okay, we know.
Paula White.
Yeah, Paula White. We know Billy Graham's daughter, and how, I mean, if you watched the Billy Graham funeral, you can see what went on there. Billy Graham's daughter, he stated from the pulpit that her dad said that she was a better minister than Franklin Graham or her brothers, okay? This is what we see, okay? Now, I want to caution any women listening today, do not get angry at me over this, please. Please do not get angry over this sermon, this message this morning. But what I would like for you to do is examine, and I'm doing the same thing. I want to examine my motives, and I want to examine your motives. I want us all to examine our motives, okay? Recently, just within the last week or so, we had a guest, and his name was Frank Hall. And during the broadcast, right in the middle of the broadcast, he made a statement that was appalling to me. It was absolutely appalling. He said, you know, we have to allow our wives freedom of conscience. And if that means that my wife wants to go to another church, I have to give her freedom of conscience to do that and let her do that. Now, first of all, Scripture is very clear that a man is to be the ruler of his household. He is to be the headship of his home. And, you know, Frank went on to say, I might tell her I disagree with her, but I'm not going to forbid her to go to her own church if that's what she wants to do, and so on. Now, first of all, let me just personalize that. If Rosette came to me, my wife for 44 years, be 45 in August, if she came to me and says, hey, I want to start going to such and such church, I would say, no, that is not biblical. You need to stay in the church that we're attending as a family. You need to stay with us. And if she proceeded saying, I don't care what you say, I'm going, I couldn't stop her. No, I wouldn't physically restrain her. Okay. But the point is that I would tell her, you are absolutely in rebellion to God's word. You're not coming under biblical authority. You're in rebellion, which is worse than witchcraft, according to Scripture. It's worse than witchcraft. So Frank Hall, you were just wrong in stating that the way you did. Now, I had another brother who I love very much, and he knows who he is. I'm not going to mention his name. But he commissioned his wife, he says, is a nominal Christian, whatever that is. And this person has told me that he does not believe in celebrating the pagan holiday of Christmas. Okay? Well, he also says that most churches are covens or satanic. Okay. And then he proceeded to tell me and other people that he had taken his wife this last Christmas season because she wanted to go and hear Christmas songs to a First Baptist church. And he said it was satanic. Wait a minute. You know you're going into a coven. You know you're going into a church that is touting false doctrine. You know your wife is already struggling with her doctrine, and you're going to put your approval just to get her acceptance to go to this coven and participate in pagan celebration? Isn't there something wrong with that picture? Okay. Now, to come full circle, it got so bad in my mom and dad's house that they were married, but as far as I'm concerned, they weren't married because my mom threatened that if he didn't tow the line, she was going to divorce him and everything else. And he became very, very, he did not want, they were married. I think they, when he died, I think they'd been married 69 years. Okay. That's according to the 69 years of marriage, but living together. And, you know, 6 months before she passed away, I was up visiting my dad, and he was very open, and he said, you don't know what I've had to go through the latter part of my life with your mother. Okay, you don't have any idea. Now, that's his side of the story. I'm sure my mom has her side of the story. But my point is that my dad was very, very aware of the fact that he was not the head of his home. He did not have the headship. In fact, when I was 13 years old, because my dad would always lead in Bible devotions and Bible study, and this one night, my mom did not agree with his particular perspective of the verses that he was reading. And she began to, in front of the family, start trying to take over and saying, no, what you're saying is not right, and so on. My dad became very angry, got in the flesh, just like I get in the flesh sometimes. He took his Bible and threw it at her and said, from now on, you're in charge of devotions. That was the wrong response. He should have said to her in a civil manner, Norva, I love you and everything, but you're just wrong. And I'm not going to relinquish my headship of my home. And you need to come under my authority, under my biblical headship. Now, I would like for Brother Mark, if he would, to, I just want to read a couple scriptures. One of the other questions that I have for our audience, and sometime we need to do a study about this. In fact, I would highly encourage everyone to get the original King James Version online edition. It's called KJV. And you can go and do search engines on any topic. And there are other software programs. I just happen to like the King James Version original online edition. And you can put, and sometime I would encourage everyone listening today to get that, download that. It's online, so you can go online and pull up the King James Version original. And there's a search engine in there, and just put in the name of church. If you look for a definition on Google of what church is, it says a physical building where people meet to worship. That's the definition of the Google mm-hmm. church. That sounds a lot like the definition of the Sovereign Grace's definition of the church, a local building where you go to worship. Okay, that is not the church according to the Bible. According to the Bible, that is not a church. It's not a physical place. Okay, the church is the church is believers in Christ Jesus that come together around His Word and teach His Word. That's what the church is. It's the bride of Christ, and a lot of people get really bent out of shape when I say that. But if you want to do a word study on the church, look it up. Look up the church, and you'll find that there's 115 instances of the church mentioned in the New Testament. And it's very, very interesting, you know, when it's talking about the churches, the house churches, the saints, the coming together, the communion, the fellowship of the saints, and so on, and the teaching of the word. Now, I want to say one other thing, and that is a lot of the sister, and I get, you know, I have 5,000 people who say they are my friends on Facebook. Like I say, probably out of that 5,000, there's probably 15 people that I would actually consider a friend, okay? And all the time I get all these women that are evangelists and teachers and missionaries and prophetesses, and on and on and on, and they have these websites, and they're actually promoting their ministries on their websites.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can also tell you that I know quite a number of Sovereign Grace women who have websites, and Primitive Baptist women who have websites. And to be honest with you, if they consider themselves to be under the headship of their husbands, you would never know it by looking at their websites. You would never know it. In fact, a lot of them don't even mention that they're married. I know they're married, okay? But this is their thing. This is their ministry, and they're teaching on their websites. Okay. Now, I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and people will say Larry just is against women, you know, he's trying to muzzle women. No, I believe that women are leveled at the cross. There's neither male nor female, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither and so on. But here's the point. There's one of the passages that we were doing devotions this morning. We're working in the book of Acts, and I think it was around the 17th, 18th chapter of Acts in that area. It talked about one man. They went into his house, and he had some daughters who prophesied. It's interesting because they were virgins. They were virgins. They weren't married. In other words, they weren't, and I find that really interesting. But anyway, I'm not going to get into all that this morning. But anyway, I want, if you would, Brother Mark, if you could just read 1 Timothy 2:11-15, 1 Timothy 2:11-15. Why don't you start?
Okay.
Verse 9 and read 9 down through 15.
That's very good. Sounds good. In the Authorized King James, and I will say welcome to all of our saints listening in this morning. May God bless you and meet you at the point of your need, whatever that need may be. My prayer is that God will bless you with new blessings in this new year. Okay. 1 Timothy 9:15 in the Authorized King James, verse 9. In like manner, also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Verse 10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Verse 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Verse 13, for Adam was first formed and then Eve. Verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety.
Well, I just want to make a couple comments, and then I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mark and Brother Carl to make any comments they've had about what I've said up to this point. Maybe we'll get a different perspective on this, since I tend to be overzealous in my response. I think that the crux of the matter is the intentions and motivation of the heart, you know.
Amen.
And, you know, if one is getting the idea that someone is being usurped in their authority, it is not a good example for either the husband or the wife in the public arena. Even I've been out in public I'll give you an example. I have a sister-in-law, and if you go over to her house, she has this thing up in her house that says, I'm the neck that turns the head. You get that? I'm the neck that turns the head. There's an attitude. Wow. There's an attitude of women out there that they're the neck that turns the head. No, they're not. Jesus Christ is the head of the household, and the husband is the head of under Christ, and you're under the husband, and the children are under all, both you and your husband. So notice here. Now this really torques a lot of women's jaws when they read this. It says Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. I'm just reading Holy Writ now. Now we know they both sinned. We know that Adam gave up his headship, didn't he? He gave up his headship. Yes. He should have said to Eve, hey, what you are advocating is you're coming against our authority. God Almighty told us not to do this. But no, he went right along with the program. Okay, I'm going to stop there. And Brother Mark, go ahead and make any comments on anything I've said in this scripture up to this point, and then we'll move to the other passages.
Yes, this is all true that God made it this way, that the man is the head of the family unit, and this is all true. And I am reminded of another scripture which says that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to purify her.
Yes.
And so husbands are in authority, and so anytime you invest authority in a fallen human being, the tendency to abuse that authority exists.
Yes. And by the way, let me interrupt you there. I will be the first to admit.
Sure.
I will be the first to admit that at times I have abused that authority, and I've asked, you know, God to forgive me in that and to help me in that regard. But you're absolutely right on the mark. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I wanted to just interject that.
Oh, okay. That's quite all right. And so, yes, God has placed the man in authority of the family unit and has held him to a higher standard than this unbelieving world, that we are to exercise that authority that has been vested in the man as the head of the family unit, and God charges the man to exercise that authority in loving submission to Christ.
Amen.
And so I agree with that, and the woman is to submit as long as the man is exercising godly authority in the right way, then yes, the woman is to submit. So yes, that is right. God has appointed the man as the head of the family unit to exercise godly and righteous authority in loving submission to Christ, who is the head of all.
That's right. That's very well put. That's very well put. And I'm not in any way suggesting or condoning domestic violence, okay? I want people to know that. Or physical abuse of any kind, or physical abuse of any kind. That is a distortion, a total disobedience to Christ loving his wife as Christ loved the church, to participate in that kind of activity. Okay, now I'm going to turn it over to Brother Carl. Go ahead, Brother Carl.
Yes, in Genesis 1:27, we read in the Authorized King James Version, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And that's what this is about. As I've stated before, what we're talking about here is an attack on the image of God.
Yes.
The marriage itself between a man and a woman is a picture of the covenant carried out between the triune Jehovah before the world began.
Amen.
And Adam and man representing Christ and the church or the bride represented by Eve or a woman. And we see plainly in Genesis 3 what happens whenever the order of God is when people think that they know better. Ultimately, Eve is beguiled by the serpent because she attempted to usurp her husband's authority. Now, we as men, we don't go to these scriptures here and talk about this because we're proud or boastful. We do this as believers because this is the word of God, and this is his divine decree to us. And it must be followed by the grace of God. And when it's not, you have all this chaos. And, you know, I'm of the opinion that's one of the main reasons that the so-called church is in the state that it is in today because of women preachers. And I could go on, but I don't want to sound belligerent or insulting.
Right.
So I'll just stop there. But yeah, there is a divine order. The marriage is a picture of the covenant carried out between the triune Jehovah from before the world began, and we as believers have clear instruction from our Heavenly Father.
You know, and I want to say, just right now, I want to personally, publicly, thank my lovely wife for her subscribing to and endorsing what we're going over right now, because she has been a model. I'm not trying to exalt a person. I'm just saying that she has been a model of a wife when I doubt that, of course, it's ordained by God that Rosette was brought into my life. I don't think any other woman would have probably stayed with me, because there's been times when I have been totally out of line. There's been times when I've been totally a rebel against God's word and every other imaginable thing. But God placed Rosette in my life and caused in her heart to come under the headship. And it's in a, I think that Brother Mark makes a good point. That headship is annihilated when we annihilate God's headship. Okay? In other words, mm-hmm. when the man rebels against God's headship, then there's a problem. Mm-hmm. Then there's a problem there, isn't there? And so so Mark made a really good point there. Now, I want Brother Carl, if you would, to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and if you would just read for us starting with 29 down through 37, 29 through 37.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, an authorized King James Version only, starting with verse 29 down through verse 37. Verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues.
Yeah, and I think it concludes with saying, let all things be done decently and in order. That's really what Paul is teaching here. Let all things be done decently and in order. A number of years ago, I want to just relay something. I've had a lot of things happen to me over the last 25 years around the subject we're talking about now. I've had women call me on the phone and rebuke me, and I could tell you all kind of things. I'm not going to get into all that, but I will tell you that the motive behind why anyone does something is the most important thing. Okay, if it is to get power and control and leverage, then that's the wrong motive. If it is to exalt Jesus, mm-hmm. if it is to exalt Jesus Christ and his kingship over our lives, that's the right motive. Okay. That's really all I have to say about that. Go ahead, Brother Mark, and then Carl, Brother Carl, feel free to make any comments about that passage you just read as well. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
Yes, this is good, because he says in verse 33 that God is not the author of confusion. And so this is, you know, the way it's saying to do things in this scripture reflects that God is the author of order and not confusion. And like he says in verse 40, but let all things be done decently and in order. So when we do it God's way, it works, because God has everything to be done in a specific order, and God is not the author of confusion.
Very good.
So this is very good.
Very good. Very good. Well, go ahead, Brother Brother Carl.
Well, I would just reiterate again that we are given a clear, that we are taught clearly here in Scripture throughout the Bible, beginning with the first few chapters of Genesis, of the divine order that God has established for us.
Right.
And we're supposed to, by His grace, follow that order.
Right.
And I know that, you know, I mean, I know that it upsets people, but, you know, the gospel itself, you know, upsets people. And, you know, this is total contrary, you know, this is total contrary to the flesh. And this right. is obviously something that has been going on since God created us and put us here. And right. Like I say, we just have to follow the order and follow our Father's instructions, because He knows what's best for us. And I'll just conclude with saying, you know, I as well would like to publicly thank my wife, Babs, for, you know, for being the person that she is. And I know that it's a work that God has done in her life. And she really, you know, she really supports me. And I'm just so happy that God, by His purpose and, you know, and providence, led us together. And I'm just really blessed to be here this morning, both of us all.
Well, that is a gift that is beyond understanding. When God puts people together that are harmonious and not in dissension, mm-hmm. and so on. In Ephesians 5, I'm going to just read a portion here, a portion, and then I'm going to make a comment, and then I'm going to let Brother Mark, and then I'll have Brother Carl kind of conclude this this out today. I'm in Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, that he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body and His flesh and of His bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I really don't have anything. I can't add anything to that. It's very, very to the point. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mark and Brother Carl to finish out. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
Amen, brother. Amen. This is the scripture that I was thinking of. Where was it? Yes, verse 28. So then ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. So this is an example of a loving and proper exercise of godly authority under Christ. The man, Christ is the head of the church. The man is the head of the woman. So So God has called godly husbands to submit to the authority of Christ and to exercise authority in a loving submission to the head of the church, which is Christ. It's a beautiful picture of divine loving order.
Amen. Amen. Brother Carl?
Yes, sir. I just think that I really can't expound much more upon it. I mean, it's, you know, we're told clearly here, and, you know, I know that, you know, women, you know, may hear this and they think to themselves, you know, men just want to be the boss, so to speak. But the man here in this order here has the bigger responsibility, so to speak, because we're told in verse 24, and we're commanded here. This is not a suggestion. All right. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, that's a man. We can only do that as husbands by the grace of God. And I mean, it's, you know, I just really thank the Lord for, you know, for teaching all of us by his grace. And I'll just say to everybody again, it was good to be in fellowship with everybody this morning, Brother Mark Phillips, Sister Rosette, Brother Mark Candy, and Brother Larry. And I'll just close with this quote by Martin Luther: "Peace if possible, and truth at all costs." And God bless everybody this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, just to kind of bring things to a closure, people wonder why we have so many. So much gender confusion in our society. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is because we've gotten out of, like Brother, what Carl started with, we've gotten away from the creative order that God has outlined in his word. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. That's why we have, women deacons in the churches. That's why we have ordained women as elders in the churches. That's why we have now, there's two or three different orders that now are ordaining homosexuals in the pulpits. Okay. We've gotten away from the creative order that God has so outlined very clearly in his word. So with that, mm-hmm. I want to thank everyone who's joined us. We had quite a few other people join us: Mukesh from India, Thomas Oscar, Howard Jett. Howard, welcome aboard this morning. A number of other people have joined us, and we hope that this has been beneficial, something to think about. And we have also been joined by Sister Louise Dreves this morning. We appreciate your being with us. And I really am amazed at how God has been so good in bringing his people together and teaching us. We all can learn. There's not anyone. This is not top down, you know. We all can learn through the word of God. We can learn from each other. And God is a great teacher. And with that, I'm going to wish everyone a blessed day in the Lord. And we'll be back this evening at 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, Brother Edward Henry is going to be with us. And I hope Brother Carl and Brother Mark can join us, because and I would like to ask Brother Carl and Brother Mark, if you would, that tomorrow's subject is going to be his preservation of the authorized King James Version of the Bible in the English language, okay? And, you know, Brother Edward Henry is going to go into depth about that, but so that we have a multiplicity of voices
okay? I would really like, Brother, because I'm going to open it up for you, Brother Carl. I'm going to open it up for you, Brother Mark. And so I'd like for you to have some, I would like to have you have some questions tomorrow. In other words, I don't want it to appear as this, just that Larry Phillips and Ed Henry dominate the talk show on Monday nights. That's not what I don't want conflict. Right. I don't want conflict. In other words, that's why we set some protocols regarding the the podcast. In other words, that's why we said, if you're trying to sow discord among the brethren, don't call. If you're trying to promote false doctrines, don't call. But if you're really seeking for the truth and you have some questions or comments that are beneficial and will be edifying, we invite you to call in tomorrow night. And I will give everyone the number right now. This will be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. You can call in. The number is 605-562-0444. That's 605-562-0444. And we will be convening at 6 o'clock, a little bit before. And anyway, Brother Carl and Brother Mark, if you would have some questions, because there's going to come a time in the broadcast, I'll probably have Ed go on, you know, for 15, 20 minutes, let him kind of get his points across. Hey, Brother Ed, I'm going to, and I'm going to tell Brother Ed that I'm going to be opening it for questions, so he's not taken by surprise. And then I'm going to open it up for questions and let you guys just have a dialogue back and forth with Brother Ed, because I think this is much more productive. So just for everybody's, just for your information, you may or may not be aware of it. Yesterday I had a call from Brother Walter Stickle. And he wanted to rebroadcast an interview that I had done with him back in 2015 on his broadcast with York Glissman, York Glissman and David Baxter. And I had no problem with that at all. And so that did happen yesterday. If you want to hear that interview, it's still on Sermon Audio from 2015, but it is also on Walter Stickle's podcast, and you can go and get that. If you want a link to that, I'll be happy to try to figure out how to get that to you. It was a very interesting interview. It's talking about the Roman Catholics' involvement in the American Revolution, and the Carroll family, and the Carroll family's relationship to George Washington. And it's very interesting. There's a lot of good information. Now, I will say one thing that I did not have a full understanding at that time, because I just, frankly, I had not done enough research back in 2015. You know, hopefully we're learning all the time. We're not just stagnant, but... Back in 2015, you know, Walter Stickle and I were considered the major pope busters, okay? And by the way, I'm still a pope buster. I'm still a pope buster. I have nothing good to say about Roman Catholicism. But that being said, it's important to understand the origins of how things happen. Now, I love York Glissman. And he lives in Belgium. He's from Germany. He has to be very careful what he says. And I think that he has tendencies of being a gatekeeper by his silence of the Jews, the Luciferian Jews. That's my opinion. He denies that Ignatius Loyola was in fact a crypto Jew. In fact, he said on the broadcast that anyone that said that was a lie. Well, Edward Henry totally disagrees with York on that. And Edward Henry has done a lot of research on Ignatius Loyola. Why am I bringing this up? It's very important to know our history. Distorted history is distorted doctrine. eventually. You know, yes. Listen,
amen.
If you go back to the Protestants, you know, the Protestants were protesting. They were Protestants. That's what the word Protestant is, Protestants. It's like Brother Carl says, Martin Luther was a Protestant. He was protesting. When Martin Luther posted his 95 Theses on Wittenberg, he was protesting the absolute evil of indulgences, okay, of purchasing the right to sin, okay? And so I didn't mean to get off track, but if you want to hear that broadcast, it is very interesting. I don't agree with everything that's said on the broadcast, but the lion's share of what is being portrayed regarding Rome and the Catholic Church and its influence is definitely the case. So, all right, well, that's really all I have today, guys. I guess we'll plan on seeing you tonight. Any final comments? Okay.
Go ahead, Carl.
It sure was nice to be with you brothers again and everybody else out there listening. And God bless everybody, and we'll see you this evening.
All right. Thank you, brother. Go ahead, Carl.
Amen, Brother Carl. I always look forward to Sundays because I know we're going to get a double dose of fellowship, one in the morning and one in the evening. So I do always look forward to Sundays and Mondays and Wednesdays, and now our fellowship calls on Thursday night. So it's really wonderful.
I'm glad you reminded us of the Thursday. Now, I want to let you guys know, I had already made plans for a broadcast on Thursday. By the way, we will be having our Thursday fellowship, but the first 30 minutes,
wonderful.
The first 30 minutes of the fellowship, or the Thursday night call, was already prearranged, and I might as well announce it right now. A very dear friend of mine, I cannot mention his name because he had 23 years in law enforcement and was an undercover agent. And because of the cases that he worked on, he is hated. And so his family would be in jeopardy if I mentioned his name, but we're just going to call him because when he was involved in law enforcement, they called him the Hammer. Okay. So, we're just going to refer to him as the Hammer. He's going to be on from 6 o'clock to 6:30 on Thursday night. And we will also be on Facebook Live at the same time. Then from 6:30 to 7:30, we will be having our fellowship. We're not going to cut our fellowship short just because we're having a broadcast. So we're going to have our fellowship from 6:30 to 7:30. But the Hammer will be on from 6 to 7 with his story. He was wonderfully saved in the middle of all of that. He was raised Roman Catholic. You'll hear his story. His brother-in-law is a Jesuit priest, okay? And so God is really gracious in bringing, bringing him out of what he came out of. So with that, I'm going to say good afternoon, good night, good evening. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless.
God bless.
Recording paused.